What is up, everybody? Thank you for joining us on this beautiful Monday morning. It is the Snakes and Stats podcast, episode 62. Oh,
hidden. Yes, sir.
Yes.
And guess what? There's an extra.
Party Corner.
Of the West Coast.
Don't feel crowded.
Yeah.
Because you got Party Corner. They don't see me on that one, so it's just you.
That's right. Well, we're each taking a side of the world.
Yeah. You get this half, I get this half.
Yeah.
Go team. I keep looking at this camera. It's this camera. I'm overwhelmed by this.
Oh, yeah, I got to look at that one. Yeah. Okay, I got to look at that
one. I'm completely overwhelmed.
Forgive us. This is new.
Thank you for joining us. I am Julian, the statistical father, which means...
I am EJ Sneaker Peter.
Oh, okay. Don't forget YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, X is Twitter. I forget that still. TikTok.
Yeah.
I'm nailing this intro. Batting 1,000.
That is.
Yeah, all the good places.
Yeah, make sure to follow us on all those, guys, and subscribe. 90% of the people that watch and listen to us are not subscribed or following us, so please hit that button.
And you're going to want to stay tuned because it is the NBA playoffs.
That is
they
correct.
They are here. We're recording this on Friday again, and so it's the last day of the play-in. The Kings are out. The Bulls are out, so much for our pick for the East from last week.
62, got a funny one for you.
Oh, okay.
Scott Pollard.
Oh, fire.
That's a good one.
That
right?
Dude looks like a lion.
And he also fouled out in like 4 minutes.
Yes.
Do you remember that
he's,
game?
Yeah.
Against the Lakers.
He's got all of the fouls. If there's a foul to give, Scott Pollard's your man.
Thanks for taking one of my stats for Stump the Statty. Not just kidding.
How dare he?
Yeah.
How dare his jersey number be 62?
Also, another guy who wore 62, the one and only other NBA player, Bob Dill. Of the Detroit Falcons.
Bob Dill?
Yeah. I mean, we don't know him, so it's not a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Bob Dill in?
No.
Just Dill.
Ooh, not him.
That was perfect.
1947, the Detroit Falcons. I did not even know there was a Falcons.
I think that's before the NBA.
That's
I think technically the NBA was 48, and before that it was the Basketball Association of America and the National Basketball League.
Yeah.
I have no clue which... league, the Detroit, what was it? Detroit Falcons?
Yeah, crazy.
I have no clue what league they were in.
Are the Buffalo Braves around at that time?
No.
Wow, so this is way back.
I don't think so. They could have been, but I think the handful of franchises that existed in those leagues were like the Hawks, technically, but they might have been called like the Tri-State Blackhawks for a little
really?
Bit. And then the Celtics have been the Celtics forever. The Knicks, I think, were one of the original NBA teams. The Lakers.
Minneapolis Lakers.
Yeah. But they were... So the Lakers were in, I think, the NBL before. And then when that merger happened to create the NBA.
Yeah.
I don't think the Lakers were... I think the Celtics are really, like... And the Knicks are, like, the original NBA.
OG of all the OGs. Okay.
Fun fact.
Okay. Cool. Just want to get out the way. WrestleMania is this weekend. So I'm very excited. I know you're not a wrestling guy.
I have a chair, though.
But... Don't do it.
Not the chair.
All the wrestlers are making their rounds on all the talk shows, podcasts during
where
like,
is
every
WrestleMania
commercial.
This year?
It's a big deal. It's because it's in Vegas, so
Ooh.
It's first time at Allegiant Stadium. Shout out J-Cation.
JJ.
He is there. He has a really exclusive interview coming out with a big wrestler. He's already met a lot of the big guys who are in the main event. So
he's always hustling, man. J-Cationers, they never stop.
That's right. So shout out him. Big deal because John Cena is fighting Cody Rhodes for the belt in his farewell tour.
Whose farewell tour?
John Cena.
Cena's?
Mm-hmm. And he turned heel if you don't know by now.
We mentioned that in a previous episode.
Yes. So. And you will not see, also switching to another sport, you will not see Shohei Ohtani because he is having a baby.
I thought you were going to say he's at WrestleMania. I was like,
because he's going to be
what?
In the main event. He's like whacking people with a bat.
Do we know how many games Shohei's going to miss? I mean, you know, babies, unpredictable.
So they don't know. The baby could be due any minute. So they're playing in Texas for the next 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine he would miss this series.
Okay.
If or even if they don't have the baby, and then he'll be back at some point next week, is what I'm guessing.
All right. How do you feel the Shohei start has been?
He is kind of on fire right
yeah.
now. Holding it down for us, along with, like, Will Smith, I think.
Yeah.
And a couple others. But Dodgers starting off a little shaky.
I mean, shaky for their for their expectations, yeah.
Yes. But Shohei himself, he's being Shohei. And they're saying early summer he might start maybe throwing up some pitches.
That is going to be crazy once Wild. He's back pitching again.
Yeah.
What a, I mean.
You brought it up last week. It's kind of funny. He's like goes out to bat and he's like, all right, see you later, guys. He's just sitting in the dugout.
I do think DH is super funny to me. I just think it's such a funny idea. Mm-hmm. I really, like, I've never been like a huge baseball fan, but mm-hmm. I always thought it was funny that, you know, the NL didn't have it for so long.
Yeah.
That was kind of awesome to me. That, like, if you're like the Yankees coming in, you don't have your, to Dodger Stadium, like, yeah. you wouldn't have your designated hitter. That's such a funny, like, quirk of having, you know, two separate leagues that are both over 100 years old. Like,
And one does one thing and one doesn't.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, but you're in the same league. And it makes it so that the pitcher almost has to know how to bat a little bit. Or it would help.
Yeah.
Majority of them don't. They just all strike
especially
out.
Not,
I don't care.
Yeah, especially yeah. not anymore.
Right. But I guess it's cool now, too. You get to put an extra hitter who's one of your better hitters. It's, and in Dodgers' case, the best in the league.
Yeah, it's good. It's good for the MLB. It's good. I'm sure all the teams like it. The fans like it. You get more home runs.
Yeah.
It's definitely a good move. I just always thought it was so interesting that there was like that discrepancy. There was nothing like that in any other sport. That's
yeah,
for
super
sure,
weird.
So,
but moving on to the NBA, how do you think this is going to affect the Bucks, bro? Damian Lillard is coming back from his blood clot at some point after Game One. I think they have no disrespect to the Pacers, but I think they can afford to miss him for a game against the Pacers.
We'll see. I mean, it's like the Pacers have been pretty good, man.
They're
like,
doing good. Yeah.
Obi Toppin has been pretty great off the bench. I don't know. It's like I feel like I'm definitely I always favor Giannis, but to be honest, the last few playoffs he's kind of proved me wrong. Every time you pick them, they end up like losing. You know?
Yeah.
Like. Last year was embarrassing, the first year of Dame and Giannis. And then I guess the year before that was the Jimmy Butler, the collapse to the 8-seed Heat.
Yeah.
7-seed Heat. I don't know. I mean, they've been on a tear since Dame went out, essentially. They lost their first four after Dame had to sit out. And then since then they've won what is that 8 in a row to end the season.
Yeah.
So they're doing okay, but I think getting Damian Lillard back is never going to be a bad thing,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of a weird season for them. I felt they lost a little bit of aura. Like nobody really talked about them. I think the most exciting thing that happened to them was trading Middleton for Kuzma.
And yeah,
there just wasn't too much talk about the Milwaukee Bucks, but they kind of floated around middle of the pack. They're the fifth seed, obviously, and in a matchup against the Pacers, it could definitely go either way. I thought without Damian Lillard, but with him now, who knows? I mean, will there be a period of adjusting because he's back after how many games? I think so.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be an adjustment, but I do think Dame's a player that you can kind of plug in, and I mean, the offense is built around Dame and Giannis, or it should be, they should be going back to what they know,
yeah.
Whether that works or not, you know, who's to say. To your point, Kuzma, his counting stats are down, since he got traded to the Bucks, but his shooting percentage and other numbers like that, They're way up. So
you think he's shooting better quality
looks? Better quality shot. I mean, he's now the third guy, you know, mm-hmm. where on the Wizards.
He's the main guy.
I mean, I think Poole was really the main guy, but, you know,
That was the Wizards. He was probably just chucking stuff up.
So he's been good. I think he's been a good addition. Obviously, you're kind of sacrificing defense by bringing in Kuzma, but between Brook and Giannis, you should be able to figure out a good defensive scheme.
Yeah.
And I think, too, Dame can make problems for the Pacers, you know? I mean, presumably, at some point, he's going to be matched up with Haliburton in front of him, and that should be an easy bucket for him almost every single time. So
yeah, adding a ball handler and creator at his caliber will definitely help a lot.
Yeah, for real. I don't really know about that series. It's just because, you know, with the Pacers having home court advantage, that's a big deal, man. Indiana, Indianapolis is a great basketball city. They love their basketball teams there, across any variety of leagues and professions. So that's going to be a tough place to win, I think.
I also don't think they're talking about it enough, but they have a couple guys who could leave in the offseason.
Pacers?
Yeah, so I wonder, guys that need to get extended to, probably. Some of the younger guys. I know the Lakers are looking for a big. I can see them targeting Miles Turner.
Yeah,
right?
He's the big name that could leave.
I mean, could this be a big playoff season for them? I think so.
Thomas Bryant is also going to be a free agent.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, most of their other guys are under contract.
Oh, they're still there. Okay.
Pascal and Tyrese Haliburton are both under contract for 4 and 5 years, respectively. Neesmith for the next 3 years.
Okay.
Mathurin for the next 2, or the 25-20. Next season is a player option, or a team option.
Yeah.
Yeah, Thomas Bryant's a free agent. He's been playing decent minutes for them, 15 minutes a game across the season with them.
Glad he found a house, or a home. A house.
Finally found a house, that guy. He's been shopping.
Where does he live?
I know his real estate agent, man. He was bugging. yeah, I think, you know, I think it'll be a pretty good matchup. But, you know, Doc Rivers, can't really trust his track record either.
Yeah, and then as we've spoken about a bunch, and, you know, so the 8th seeds on both conferences are what we were waiting on. They're playing right now.
Yes.
The standings will be set by the time you guys get out.
Seems like it's going to be Heat. They're leading the Hawks right now.
Yeah.
Which would be embarrassing for the Hawks. Like, they've just had a middle-of-the-road season, and Jalen Johnson, who is definitely their second most important player, has been injured for the last month or so, 2 months, not coming back. So that, you know, hurts quite a bit.
Trey kind of had a little explosion at the end of that.
He had a temper tantrum.
Yes.
Yeah. We can talk about that a little bit later. With Dame, though, even though he's been cleared of his blood clot, which was the issue, he is not going to... He hasn't been cleared to play, or they don't want him playing in game 1, at least.
That's what they're saying, yeah.
From the Milwaukee Sentinel Journal that he has been participating in practices without any restrictions, but they haven't... at least today when they practiced, it wasn't a full run. It was kind of more of a shoot-around before heading to Indiana tonight.
Yeah.
So he could come back in the series. They just don't know when yet. It seems like he likely will. It's also just kind of miraculous that he will be able to come back, because this was March.
It's a pretty big deal too.
The Milwaukee Sentinel Journal said this is like the fastest any NBA player has recovered from this kind of issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with most guys missing the rest of their season, much like Wemby, same kind of issue. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool. It'll be good to have him in the playoffs. I mean,
nice to see the stars healthy too, right?
You never know what Dame's going to do in the playoffs, man. He is a heartbreaker.
Yeah, as a Milwaukee fan too, you want your team to be 100%. In terms of the matchups, I think regardless of who the 8 seeds will be on either side, the one and eight matchup on both conferences looks like the one seed will kind of be a little more dominant, but all the other matchups are pretty good. 2-7, the 3-6, and 4-5s on both sides look like it's going to be a bloodbath for all the series.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you what you thought were going to be the best series to watch, or just the best series?
I think, you know, we're in LA, we're Lakers fans, so that's going to be the series that we set aside time for. Like, we are going to, no matter what's happening, we're going to watch the Lakers game. That's not in my top two series, though.
It's not. I'm looking at one specifically. I wonder if it's the same as yours.
I feel pretty confident that the Lakers will win that series. The Wolves are really, really good. I just don't think Randall and Gobert specifically are going to be able to be switched onto Luka specifically. And LeBron, but...
Perfect,
but
yeah.
Specifically Luka. I mean, we've seen Luka do this before. He just torches Gobert in the playoffs year after year after year. So I don't see why that would be any different. Mm-hmm. Anthony Edwards is a killer. That whole, like, Jaden McDaniels is great. Naz Reid is amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't like Randall that much. I don't want him to be, I don't think he's a guy that I would rely on in the playoffs. So I feel confident that the Lakers can win. So I'm not super interested. But the best series to me is going to be Rockets.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
That series is, oh, man.
I say only because you have a bunch of firecrackers there, right? So Dylan Brooks on the Rockets side and then Draymond Green. And you know Draymond Green is and his antics, regardless if he's doing it on purpose or not. And then you know the character that Dylan Brooks is
portraying. Dylan the villain, you mean.
Is portraying, yes. So do I think that's going to clash at some point? Probably in game one.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things at play, you know?
Yeah.
Ime Udoka is the head coach of the Rockets, and that is who Steph and the Warriors last beat for their last championship.
Yeah.
And obviously in their last matchup of the season, there's been some beef there. You know, Steph was shut down in that game.
Yeah.
He had a horrible game, and Amen Thompson really locked him down. So, you know, there's something there. Dylan Brooks coming from the Grizzlies, who had seen the Warriors a lot in the postseason / play-in. Obviously, there was bad blood there. I kind of forgot about the whole Gary Payton injury.
Yep.
From what I would say is a basketball play from Dylan Brooks. Obviously, how he acted afterwards and how the Warriors acted afterwards. You know, neither side was willing to be friendly with the other after that. So there's that. Fred VanVleet can be a pest, and he was on the Raptors team that beat the Warriors in the finals.
That's right.
And then, of course, I mean, I feel like it's a completely different team at this point. But, of course, the Warriors and the Rockets, back when Harden was winning MVPs and all that, they went back and forth a lot. So there's so much at play off the court, like you say, could spread to on the court between Brooks and Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm.
That series is going to
be, series, man.
I think, must watch TV. And I really kind of feel it could go either way. If I had to give an edge, it's hard for me to not pick the Warriors, especially with how they played with Jimmy. Experience. Playoff Jimmy is a real thing, despite what he may say.
They also have the chef.
They have Mr. Stephen Curry.
Mr. Stephen Curry. Isn't it crazy how Ime Udoka has kind of become that jerk, kind of? He's like getting into it with a lot of players lately. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, former player.
I think he's
channeling that a little bit.
Yeah, him and Bron got into it. Him and Steph got into it. He likes to speak his mind a little bit. You know.
I think the Warriors going small is going to be interesting because the Rockets favor their two big lineup of Adams and
So you're going to isolate Adams. I can't Adams, think of his name right now. Somehow.
Adams and...
Şengün.
Şengün, yeah, thank you. They're definitely, they can attack Adams, but, will that... If that doesn't work, because if the Rockets are able to switch... I mean, the rest of their perimeter players are really good defenders. Dylan Brooks.
Your boy.
I will say this about Dylan Brooks. He's gotten a lot of grief.
I meant your boy, Amen Thompson. Not Dylan Brooks.
Okay, Amen Thompson.
You're about to defend him.
Only thing I'll say is I watched with Dylan Brooks. He's gotten a ton of flack on this podcast, and I think rightfully so. But I watched Court of Gold on Netflix.
Yeah.
And he's way more soft-spoken off the court and tender than Draymond Green, for example.
For sure.
Draymond Green is still Draymond Green off the court, which is embarrassing, I think, usually. Yeah. I feel like every time he goes on his podcast, he says something to embarrass himself.
What's the thing that we just saw recently? I don't think we talked about it, but he spoke about something recently that I was kind of like, well, you do it too. Oh, he spoke about Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, he was saying how Dylan Brooks has his antics and stuff like that. He also...
I'm like, how about you?
on the opposite end, he said Trace Jackson Davis giving up his seat for Quinton Post, a rookie, was like the most selfless thing he's ever seen a person in the NBA do. I was like, that is crazy. I get that there's a pecking order. There we go.
Yeah.
I get that there's a pecking order and that like rookies usually don't get a seat on the bench, but Trace Jackson Davis wasn't playing and Quinn Post was. I feel like it's as simple as that.
Let him get a break.
And also for Draymond to be saying stuff about treating teammates nicely is comical. Comical at best.
Yeah. And he likes to give his takes like on his podcast and it'll become a thing on social media.
That series has everything, man. Old versus young.
Which is what I'm excited for that one the most.
Drama.
Doesn't matter which one.
Drama off the court. And then on the court, the matchups are crazy, man. I mean, Jimmy Butler just brings a different level of intensity to the Warriors than they've had previously.
Yeah.
Especially defensively. But I think the Rockets are built very well to guard Stephen Curry.
Definitely.
In particular. Again, Amen Thompson, like you said.
That guy is incredible.
He is maybe Defensive Player of the Year. He's been ridiculous, man. Second year in the league, and he's...
Definitely at least second team all defense, right?
At least. He's got to be first team, I think.
Yeah.
Crazy. Going to be a really good series.
I'm also looking at the Knicks and Pistons.
That was my other one that I was interested in.
And I bring it up because I don't know if the Knicks can handle the Pistons' physicality. Cat is under the spotlight again. He needs to show up. And we were talking about last week kind of moseying along the season. And it seemed like the Knicks kind of did that throughout the second half.
They had some injuries, you know. Jalen Brunson was injured for a while.
He was injured. But
they only have like a 10-man rotation, so once one guy gets injured, it's like, ooh, watch out.
Yeah, it just feels like the Pistons are really embracing this tough guy attitude team thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the Knicks are up to that task. Well, I mean, we'll see. Offensively, obviously, the Knicks are better, I think. But can you get going if you're getting beat up and pushed and through the screens and all that stuff, you know?
I 100% agree with you, man. I do think this is going to be... The Pistons are going to make you work. I mean, you've seen it all season, how many fights they've gotten into. I don't necessarily think that's a indicator of how tough you are.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're willing to do it.
And who's their number one fighter?
Hey, are you talking about Beef Stew right now, dude? You don't want beef with Beef Stew.
Hey, I'm giving you praise. Don't beat me up, please. Don't look for me.
Please look at camera 3.
I'm sorry. I didn't forget you were there.
Can't see me.
Yeah, we're there.
Here I am.
There we are. Okay. Isaiah Stewart is
he's coming for
that's
you.
That's their Rodman, right? That's their kind of like their Draymond Green in a way, you know. I think it's effective. I think they've really embraced it. Cade Cunningham is no joke. I think
Cade is for real.
They got Jaden Ivey back. I don't know if he will be playing in the series.
Yeah,
but
I'm not 100% sure if he's going to, like, what he'll do, you know?
But Jalen Duren is a big body that you cannot move and is also another guy who's kind of come up. And then the other Thompson brother, right?
Yeah, Sar. Pretty good. Not at the level of a man, but pretty good.
Yeah.
I do agree, though, that I kind of feel like, and I mean, this is largely, I'm going to say, because of Kat, mm-hmm. That the Knicks have, like, a fake tough guy thing going on.
Yeah.
I feel like Josh Hart isn't a tough guy, but he's not afraid to get in your face. He's not afraid to let you know, like, how he's feeling. But he's not Malik Beasley or Isaiah Stewart.
He's not
out there causing trouble.
Like, when Josh Hart was, what did he do to JJ? Oh, he pointed at him after he made the three. I wasn't mad at Josh Hart, really. I don't know if it's because he used to be a Laker or because I know he's not that tough
troll.
Guy. Yeah, he's not that tough guy that will piss you off because of it. You know, so I wasn't really mad about that. So I agree with you on that.
But I do think Kat has that kind of fake tough guy mentality. Brunson, not so much, but...
Well, what am I supposed to do? Yeah.
But after all that...
I'm just playing my game.
I just can't escape the, like what you said, Cat has a spotlight, man. There's been so many playoff runs with the Wolves that Cat is supposed to, like, he's supposed to step up and he hasn't.
Yes.
Where now it's like, okay, show me. Like, you got to show me this year, man. You got to get out of the first round.
You're in the Harden realm, kind of, right? Show me what you can do. Bro.
I think a completely different realm. Harden is in that realm, but in a different way because he is an MVP and he's always collapsed. Where Cat, I think Cat had the potential to be like an All NBA kind of guy, perennial All NBA.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay,
Harden is in a different,
yeah,
like tier of NBA players.
Right,
I think.
Right.
But the Pistons, man, they have something to prove. Detroit has been bad for a long time, pretty much. They've had, you know, playoff appearances here and there since the last championship, the 2004 championship. But really, it's been
awful.
It's been not good.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a fun series, and I think
I can see some altercations in that series.
The Pistons are going to...
If you think about it, they did have a fight. That was with... Because I'm thinking of DiVincenzo when he was on the Knicks. He was on Minnesota when they had a fight with Pistons, which was crazy.
Something to look for is, you know, like you said, the Pistons are, like, a physical team. Brunson takes the 11th most free throws per game in the league. He's going to be going to the line a lot, I think. Pistons are still kind of a young team figuring it out. So,
and do you go after, you know, I'm not saying they're going to try to hurt him, but, you know, he's coming back from that knee injury. You know, I can see some hard screens being set. And
The Pistons are going to play hard no matter what. I mean, that's just that, you know.
That's going to be fun.
It's going to be... That's the other series. That's the main series in the East that I'm excited for.
Definitely for me too. And the last one I kind of wanted just to go over a little bit too is an interesting one is the Clippers and Nuggets.
That series is going to be hard. This is going to be so hard for everybody.
I'm excited for it though. I think is, you know, Kawhi and Harden are streaking at the right time. Not that I'm rooting for them, but. You have against the Joker and all the stuff that's been happening with them these last couple of weeks that we've spoken about.
Yep.
But he's still the Joker, and the Nuggets are still the Nuggets, right? So something's got to give, bro.
And the Nuggets, I mean, you know, Joker said, like, you know, maybe this awakens the beast. And it's like, you don't get quotes from him like that very often.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean... You gotta watch out, and you know despite how he acts, you know, and I've been frustrated with it before that I wish we saw this side of him more often.
Same.
Like taking charge. That's not to say he's not a leader in that locker room. I don't know, but you don't see him publicly take charge like this very often. So the fact that he is kind of like
It makes you think that he's taking it more serious. Not that he wasn't, but it's. It makes you feel that.
It feels different.
Yes.
Yeah. But I mean, this series is, God, it's gonna be hard, man. The Clippers have the third best defensive rating for the whole season, which is crazy.
Yeah.
When you have James Harden on your team, just to be honest, like that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's impressive, and it's commendable. So, I think this series is gonna be awesome, man. But the only thing that's like. I feel like the reason that this isn't in our top two series is because there's this asterisk around Kawhi Leonard in the playoffs every single year. You just, at this point, kind of expect that by game three, there's going to be a tweet like, Kawhi Leonard is sitting out game three due to, you know, knee soreness or the unknown injury because the Clippers usually hide it. And then it turns out after they lose the series, oh, he actually tore his ACL.
Yeah.
So... it's like I don't want that to happen, obviously. Yeah. Like I am rooting for basketball, so the best basketball is when Kawhi Leonard is healthy and available. But I can't help but think about it, like this has happened the last how many years? So I really don't want it to happen. I really don't want there to be any injuries for anyone in the whole playoffs, but it's something to think about, where if it does happen, I don't see how the Clippers can beat the Nuggets.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if Kawhi can stay healthy, man, that series is going to be up there. I think still the Warriors and Rockets is going to be my other one to watch because, like we said, all the stuff off the court. But from an X's and O's standpoint,
this is the one.
That's the one.
Yeah. Great point. Ty Lue is one of the good coaches of this.
Mike Malone would have been a good X and O's coach, guy, but too.
He's not there anymore.
No.
I think another point to add to what you were saying was Kawhi's going to need his teammate to show up. Harden, bro. And we all know his playoff, his career in the playoffs and times he hasn't showed up, specifically with, you know, Houston, right?
Yeah.
It would be nice if this was the one for the season for him to finally show up. Who knows, you know?
And I think, too, I think probably Joel Embiid is the best teammate he's had,
yeah.
James Harden. But Kawhi, I would say, is second. Russ at that time is probably up there, too. But I think Kawhi is maybe the one that, still probably Embiid is up there, but like Kawhi helps take that burden off Harden.
Yeah.
Where he really can just kind of be a point guard. And
even at this stage of his career.
Yeah. I mean, Kawhi has been playing nice, man.
He's
Kawhi
been killing it, bro.
Looked good in that last regular season game that put them in this matchup against the Warriors. I mean, just he's looking on the defensive end like the Kawhi that was winning Defensive Player of the Year and, you know, with the Spurs. And he's still be able to do it on the offensive end. He's looking scary. He's looking like a
problem. Do you think the extra effort that he puts in towards the end of the season and in the playoffs is the contributes to the injuries these last couple of years, maybe? Hard to say.
It's hard to say. He's played more this year, I feel like, than he has in years past.
Minus the beginning of the season, right, is when he was out.
And that was mostly, I think, due to an actual injury, where in the last few years there's been tons of load management plus little ticky-tack injury stuff.
Yeah.
Where this year it was like, okay, you just got to go play, dude. Like, you got to play in back-to-backs and consecutive games, which he has been doing in the tail end of the season.
Yeah.
Only played 37 games this year, but, I mean, the games he's played, they've been in, there hasn't been breaks, really. He's been playing long stretches of games, which is something we haven't seen in a long time. So maybe to your point, maybe having played regularly for the last 3 months, he'll actually be in a position to maintain his strength and integrity of his legs.
Yeah.
Who knows? It could have just been bad luck. It could have just been 5 years of bad luck. Yeah. You just don't know.
I'm just wondering if, you know, all that resting and then all of a sudden putting all the strain on your legs out of nowhere can contribute to that. Maybe it could, maybe it can't, you know.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Another thing that kind of happened recently that I want to get into before we get into some kickeronis is the Mavericks had that closed door presser with...
I'm glad this is the last one we're talking
with
about.
Selected members of the media.
No recording devices.
No recording devices. I think he didn't want to speak about the trade, but half of it was about the trade. What happened?
Because this is his first meeting with press officially.
Nico Harrison,
yes. the Mavericks GM, since the Luka trade, which that press conference was kind of on the fly because the timeline for you sent me a text at like 9 o'clock when the Luka trade went down, which was like midnight. I think because they were in Cleveland, so they were on Eastern time.
You were like, what do you want?
I thought you were messing with me. I was like, why are you calling me right now?
Yeah. Crazy night.
I literally, when I picked up the phone, I'm like, I hope everything's okay. And you're like, yo, we just got Luka Doncic. So I'm like, the first thing that went through my head is, why are you calling me at 9 o'clock to mess with me? Like, that's really weird.
Yeah, also like, but I thought that too. I was like, I don't call you that late. And if I do, it's a text, right? But I needed to... To say
it out loud.
I can't just put all caps.
And then the press conference was the next morning. So he was probably up all night, Nico Harrison. Yeah. Probably a lot of people with the Mavericks, a lot of people with ESPN, they were up all night because that press conference was like at 8 a.m., you know. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time he's talked to the press since then. Kind of weird timing, I thought, because, like,
yeah, really
it
weird.
Felt like an end-of-the-year press conference, but, like, technically the Mavericks season as of recording...
It's still going.
It's still going. And as at the time that they did the press conference was still... You had a shot to make the playoffs.
Right.
So, strange timing. Strange circumstances. I read something today when I was looking up about the press conference that Shams was saying on NBA Today that Nico Harrison did not want to have this press conference under these circumstances.
It was one of the owners?
Patrick Dumont.
Yes, one of the governors.
He's the governor, majority, part of the majority ownership team.
Yeah.
That supposedly this was his idea and his wants. Very weird.
Super weird.
And then to get into like some of the nitty gritty of it.
Let's get some quotes from this presser.
Who is very outspoken. He's a reporter for ESPN. I like Tim McMahon. I think I've seen online a lot of people don't. They think he has bad takes and is too, like...
I can see that, but I kind of like the... Like, I know you're going to bring it up, but I like the questions he asked, Nico.
They were just to the point.
Because
the main thing being... why? Which is seems silly after all this time to be like, why?
In a nutshell... Why did you leverage the future for now, right? And was this the plan? But and then Nico's just kept going back to, well, defense wins championships.
Literally, though, when I heard,
give
you
me
know,
more.
You telling me posts on Instagram of like Nico. I listened to the Zach Lowe show and they talked about it. How he said defense wins championships. I thought they were paraphrasing, but no, he literally answered questions. Defense wins championships, and then moved on to the next question. Which
yeah. That's his default answer for everything.
It's just insane. Let me turn the cameras on.
Turn this camera on. Turn this camera on. Hey, turn this camera on. Turn this camera on. What?
I think I actually have... maybe I'll do it next time. I forgot. I have a little tripod in my backpack.
For that one? Why can't you give me a better... I don't know. It seems like he's deflecting a little bit.
I mean, even to the point of, like... I mean, that definitely deflecting. Because Tim McMahon was really kind of leading the charge on just getting straight to the point of, like, how could you possibly think this was a good trade?
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, you know, when everyone's saying this, I think there's kind of this thought of, like, it's not that Anthony Davis is a bad player. It's just that he is a older... generally speaking, injury-prone player compared to Luka. Like, Luka's going to be an MVP candidate for the next 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Minimum. And AD is not. And AD is going to be aging out of the league within that same time frame where Luka was supposed
right.
to... Luka made it clear he wanted to be, like, your star.
Yeah. And if you wanted him to change defensively, that's something you can change.
Yeah.
In terms of just his effort, right?
And I think this kind of summed it up of like, he's like, so Tim McMahon says, and you don't believe that the team that went to the finals last year with Luka as a centerpiece could continue to contend for championships. And Nico Harrison says, I'll say this again, defense wins championships, which is just an insane...
I guess, yeah.
And again, you know, Nico Harrison did inherit some of this team to some extent. So I guess... It's built around Luka. Luka is the guy. Like, you bring in Kyrie, you bring in Klay, you bring in PJ Washington and Gafford and all these guys that you made moves for. Moves that have worked out.
Yeah.
Especially compared to in past years when they've made moves for guys like...
Letting Brunson go.
Porzingis didn't really work out how you wanted it to.
Yep.
You made these moves that didn't work. And then last year, it worked. Like, you're in the finals.
Yeah.
Against... a really, really good team that,
with Luka.
Yeah. So and the team's built around him. I don't think AD is actually a bad fit on this team. It does give him what he wants to finally play power forward for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So.
And you also can't say anything just yet because the team's that healthy. I think you can give your full assessment and opinion as soon as at the end of next season because Kyrie will be healthy by then, right?
Well, you hope. I mean,
I hope.
A torn ACL for a guy of his age is no laughing matter.
Yeah, you don't know, we don't know when he's going to come back. You're
no.
Right. Yeah.
He will definitely not be playing most of next season because this tear was just so late in the season.
Yeah.
Who knows? But that's what Nico Harrison kept saying. But, you know, Tim McMahon kept using his logic against him of, like, he's saying, you know, at some point you said, Nico, that you have a 3 to 4 year championship window with this team with Anthony Davis on it now. But what happens after that? And he's like, you traded away your first round draft picks from 27, 28, 29, and 30. No first round draft picks.
Yeah.
And that's after, you know, three of those 4 years are after this 3 to 4 year window.
Yeah.
Or two. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
He also took the later pick, which also didn't make sense, when the 27th pick, the 2027 Lakers pick is the one you should have got.
Yeah, he took the...
You know?
It's just, at the end of the day, no matter how much... I do think, if you look at the Mavericks roster, it's a nice team. You just have to have them be healthy, which, yeah, of course, is going to be the biggest thing. But just trading Luka, the return for Luka doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Should
have took both picks.
Getting one all-star and one pick,
mm-hmm,
for Luka Doncic in this current NBA market where Rudy Gobert, I mean, the Gobert thing is never going to happen again. That was like 7 picks for one guy who is pretty good, but he's not even an all-star. He's not
Paul George.
Yeah. Like, there is a number of picks that you could have got. And he said, he's like, well, you know, you can't be out there shopping your players because then they find out that you're shopping them, and it's like, just don't shop him then. Like,
exactly.
The whole thing just was kind of ridiculous.
And still weird at this, up until this point.
I do think, to some extent, like, I mean, you can say that Nico Harrison said in his first press conference back when the trade happened that he pretty much did this by himself, knowing that, you know, the team would support him. I think, obviously, you have to run this kind of trade by your owner,
who
obviously was in favor of it. But the deal was, I think, done by the time Patrick Dumont found out. But I do think, just at some point, even though he's kind of the culprit behind this particular instance, I think ownership is really where the buck stops.
Yeah.
There was also some things Nico Harrison said about, because Tim McMahon pressed him about, like, did you talk to Mark Cuban? Did you talk to Dirk Nowitzki?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, they're not involved with the team.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's like, Mark Cuban's a minority owner, so he is involved with the team,
mm-hmm,
whether you like it or not. And Dirk is the best player in franchise history,
mm-hmm,
bar none. Like,
yeah,
and he was involved with the team. And now Dirk, according to Tim McMahon in this leaked, you know, proceedings of what happened in the press interview, Dirk doesn't want to be involved with the team. You've pushed Dirk Nowitzki away from the Mavericks.
To be that upset means you did something pretty crazy.
I mean, that's unthinkable.
And then on the other side of things, Rob Pelinka just got an extension today, and they gave him a new title. Or they, instead of being GM, he's also the president of basketball operations now. So, you know, you got one guy who is basically labeled the hero now in LA, and then you got another guy who is like, the town is coming with tiki torches, and, you know, like, you know, tiki torches, just, you know, off with his head type of thing, you know. So kind of a crazy situation that it's come to.
The next few years are going to be interesting in Dallas, because it's like, I don't know at what point if you're the ownership, if you're like, well, yeah, okay, Nico's wrong, he's out. Like, it seems like it's a lot of his guys there too, so it's going to be interesting in Dallas. You kind of hope the best for them, because, you know, it's still weird. It's like, I don't like seeing AD in a Mavericks uniform as much as I do like seeing Luka in a Lakers.
Yeah.
It still is weird. So, you know, they can be our friendly rivals, I guess. Mm-hmm. But just a bad situation that they just keep... Nico Harrison and Patrick Dumont just keep digging themselves further with the way they're handling it, too.
Yes.
He even said, he's like, you know, I hope some of the ill will would have been squashed by our performance on the court, but we never got to see the team in its full iteration, which maybe that would have helped, but I think the way they're handling things off the court has only made it worse.
Well, as of right now, the Lakers and the Mavericks are both still technically in the playoffs. The Mavericks are playing right now, but need to win to be able to get that eighth seed.
And
so we'll see.
No offense, they're not making it past the first round if they get there.
Because they are playing...
I would give the Grizzlies maybe a chance. Maybe they could beat the Thunder. I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
The Mavericks have no chance of beating the Thunder. Not a single chance.
Mm-mm.
So
it's going to be tough. Yeah, it's going to be tough regardless.
This is not the season that Dallas Mavericks fans envisioned in October. That's for sure.
One last thing before we get to new releases, because I'm excited for new releases. the Olympics just announced the venues for yes. their sports. And this is relevant because we are based in LA. So Dodger Stadium will be hosting all the baseball stuff, which is awesome.
Except for, I'd have to look into it again, but no softball.
No.
Softball is being played in Oklahoma City, which... Yes.
Weird.
Really weird. The only thing, I need to look into it more, but when they first announced that, I did look into it and couldn't find anything. Mm-hmm. The only thing I can think is that there's some American Softball Association or something that that is based in Oklahoma City or has yeah. a contract or whatever.
Yes.
And any tournament, like national tournament for softball, must be played in Oklahoma City or something. That's the only thing I can think of.
I cannot believe that.
It's yeah. there's plenty of fields that could have held Olympic yeah. softball.
Exactly. And it reminds me of the last Olympics where they had surfing in another country, right? So
that was kind of sick, though.
but that's dope. But I get it. You know, you can't surf in Paris.
What do you mean?
And then just some other venues. I wish Crypto was holding the basketball, but they're hosting.
It makes sense.
The gymnastics, which is it's also
it
cool.
makes sense Super that the cool. newer arena is going to have the more highly touted sport.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And for soccer will be the Rose Bowl, which is pretty cool.
That's awesome because the Rose Bowl, historic venue,
big time.
They played Olympic soccer there, I believe, in '84.
I think Brazil with like all the stars played here.
Yeah, Rose Bowl historically has held a lot of friendly soccer matches, but like yes. big time mm-hmm. soccer teams come through and play at the Rose Bowl. Usually not for a big competition, but mm-hmm. it's like kind of a soccer venue as much. I mean, it's football first, obviously, but
right.
they've held huge soccer events.
And I just bring it again because it's a big deal. You know, Los Angeles is already preparing with all their getting the city ready for all this for the Olympics with
Metro projects,
and it being 3 years away. So, you know, kind of cool to see that all these big venues. I think Olympic Village is UCLA campus.
Yep.
So, again, for LA, for us LA people, should be 20 minutes away, but it's really an hour away because
of
the traffic.
And it's also, it's like, I'm super big. I used to take the metro to work. And so
you
I
go
just
out
really,
that way.
I really right? like that LA is expanding its metro because the metro specifically has been really bad. LA actually has a super robust bus system.
Yes.
And I feel like a lot of people are like, I'm not going to take the bus. The bus is actually way nicer than the metro because
for sure
you have to pay to get on at the front. The metro here, you could just walk on. Nobody's stopping you. I think yeah. that's going to change by the time the Olympics are coming. They're going to have way more police presence, more yes. gates. There was no gates before. You could literally just walk on.
Yep.
Our bus system's really good. I think mm-hmm. that's going to be super important for the Olympics. Getting to Westwood, you know, in theory, by that time, there should be a metro extension there, so yeah. it should be quick. There are some events that are just not, they're just going to be hard to get to.
For sure.
They're smaller events, for mm-hmm. better or for worse, but like shooting, I think, is in Almani, or Pomona, I think, actually. Yeah. It's way out there.
Mm-hmm.
All the dressage and other horse events is going to be at the Santa Anita Racetrack, which mm-hmm. is pretty close to us.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of farther, if you're staying in downtown or maybe on the west side near more of the action,
yeah,
it's going to be, that's far away. If you were really hoping to come for,
yeah,
I mean, you have enough time to plan your trip still if you're coming from out of state or from out of the country.
For sure.
But I'm curious to see, I kind of want to see what the main events in Paris and, other previous Olympics, maybe not Tokyo because that was COVID, so that was a weird one.
Yeah.
But how far spread they were mm-hmm. because Pomona is super far. If you're coming to LA for an Olympics, that's mm-hmm. that's gonna be an hour at least by car.
Yeah. And I mean,
and there's not really public transit out there.
Exactly. And I think technically you can use stuff in Ontario, right? You can use stuff there. It's for the people that are coming from other cities, other states, other countries, if you're going to an event at Crypto, Intuit, even something there, I'm sure they'll use USC, which is also around that.
I thought Galen Center was doing the gymnastics.
Galen Center will for sure will be doing some type of, yeah. They're going to use it for sure. But all these are somewhat in the same area.
Those are all close enough, yeah.
Yeah, along with all the sports teams in LA during that time, just be ready. The 101, the 110 will be insane.
It's going to be gnarly, but all of those places you just listed have major metro stops.
Yeah.
So That's what I would recommend. I mean, that's how plan that. That's how I'm going to do it for when I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Dodger Stadium will be cool, though.
Yeah.
That's going to be exciting.
And baseball in the Olympics is just, it's cool. You get to see all the stars playing for their countries.
Shohei?
The past WBC champs.
Exactly.
Beating USA.
Japan don't mess around. That was an awesome clip from when
Shohei
was pitching to Mike Trout for the win.
Yeah. Oh,
that's mean.
Also,
teammates at the time.
And also the top three in the Japan rotation are all on the Dodgers. What?
That's messed up.
But hey, what are you wearing on your toes?
Shoes. Well, socks on my toes.
Socks first.
Yes.
But what's covering the socks?
Shoes.
And what shoes do you have? You really going to make me ask?
Yes.
He's wearing some new ones.
Some new for me.
It's been a long time coming.
It's been a long time coming for this pair. I have my corduroy Dunks finally.
Yeah.
They're super comfy. They feel super durable, too. I'm, like, super psyched about, like, oh, I can spill water on these and we'll be fine.
Yeah, how's the comfort? How's the...
Super comfortable.
Walking in them.
Strangely more comfortable than my other pair of Dunks. I don't know what's up with that, but
yeah.
I really like these.
They look very cushiony around the ankle. I think the tongue is very puffy, almost like an SB.
Kind of, yeah. They are not SBs.
But I am a huge fan of the materials, not just the corduroy, that almost like that plaid.
Yeah.
And then the material in the front is almost like a plaid, too.
Which they're both super thick, like
it's not going to get canvas, messed up, bro. Yeah.
And it's like couch material, like you said last week.
Couch material and the color combos and the way that the colors are put together, just
way more subtle than I thought too. I mean obviously there's like eye-catching parts of this, but overall I was like, oh, these aren't like as in your face or like loud, I guess, as I thought they were gonna be. So I'm very happy.
And for those of you asking, we finally got it. What size are you?
13, baby.
Figured it out. It's not 12 and a half anymore.
Send me 13s.
Yeah. To all our sponsors out there, 13.9.
There we go. On record.
That's right.
And you have your starfish.
I brought him back because, you know.
That's so fire.
I have a wonderful birthday gift from the Steady Daddy that I'm wearing here. So I thought the starfish would be a perfect match for that.
It's beautiful. Beautiful combo.
Well, thank you. You bought it.
Yeah. Yes. I have great taste.
But let's get into some kickaronis.
Shall we get into it?
What do you think?
Yes, we shall. First up for new releases, we have a ongoing collaboration, one of many.
Mm-hmm.
We have the New Balance 990 V6 and Action Bronson in the newest colorway, the Amazonia.
One of his 5 million.
Yes,
he's got
5 million. I did it. 5 million New Balance shoes.
Yes. Well, since he started the collab with them in 2023, which seems not long ago because of how many shoes he's come out with already. Yeah, and he drops two at a time always.
Yeah.
This one is what you said, the Amazonia, and the name of it is also backwards. They're also calling it the... Just whatever, however you say Amazonia backwards.
Ainazama?
There you go.
Ainazama?
Yeah. Weird, I don't know. But the colors are to represent the Amazon rainforest. He hasn't necessarily come out with a reason or why he came out with this colorway, but he comes out with a lot of funky different colors, if you've seen his last few drops. The shoe does come out. It's out already. It came out on the New Balance site and his website.
Oh, okay.
It came out April 18th for $220. And it came out in a... He came out with a bunch of videos promoting and marketing the shoe. And the first person to wear it was a rapper by the name of Mayhem Lauren. I think he's a French rapper. And just a funky color shoe, like I said. Something that I learned that I thought was pretty cool is this brown area here is called a mud guard.
Ah, is that why it's brown?
And that's why it is brown.
If you get mud on it, one will know.
It's going to collect the mud.
Yes.
But what's your opinion on this, Mr. Statty?
I mean, the shoes that we've covered from Action Bronson and New Balance before have all had a similar vibe. Yeah. So I don't think he's like copying anyone's style, but this particular colorway does look remarkably similar to the I think it was it the J-tips, the
yes, the and Jazz I like that nine. The Saucony.
Yeah. That we talked about a few episodes ago looks like remarkably super similar to that colorway. Yeah. Just a thought. Not my palette.
Yeah.
I don't actually even really mind the brown on there, even though I think by most people's standards that's like clashing with the bright pink and the mint green.
Mm-hmm. How do you like the model, the 990 model?
They're not my favorite New Balance. I'm sure they're very comfortable. I mean, this is probably one of their most popular models for sure. So, you know, they've been putting a lot of tech in there and everything. But, yeah, I don't know. I would probably pass on these.
Yeah. I mean, I like them a lot. I think I like, it's funny you bring that. You brought up the J-tips. They just released those again. Hmm. Undefeated had them for a bit. Nice. I really wanted to jump on it.
They're but
I
was really like, nice,
I need
dude.
To calm down.
You've been going crazy.
But yeah, so I need to, so I was like, what? I really like this colorway. He is making a lot of 990 V6s, but he also does the 1906, which is his other model that he loves. Goes well with a lot of like the trends and the style that's going on right now. So it just explains also why. Another reason that this colorway is like how it is. But just a beautiful shoe. I don't, the second shoe of this drop, I believe, released a couple months ago. I don't know which one it is because I wanted to put more focus on this one. But Action Bronson and New Balance are turning out to be a wonderful duo.
Very lucrative combo, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Moving along, though, we've got a all-time classic.
Great White Buffalo.
Yes. the Jordan 4 White Cement. Whoo! These are nice.
Julie,
these are so clean.
This is a holy grail for me.
Okay.
Will
they be coming home?
Oh, they're on the way already. Nah, it's just kidding. I didn't buy it yet. But we've said there are a couple shoes coming out this year that if we don't get them when they come out or for retail, we're going to still get them. In terms of just Jordans, this is one that's been elusive in my collection. So now that Nike is doing this collection drop of all the old J's, you are coming home with me.
They are super clean. Nasty, man. They are super clean.
And you know how we feel about super white shoes. This one is an exception.
Scotch Guard. these are so nice, man. I kind of forgot about these from when we talked about them in our fourth episode ever.
Yeah.
They are like... I'm probably going to try and get
this. Yeah. And you brought up, imagine, because this is a full family sizing.
Yes.
Coming out very soon, actually, May 24th for 225. You brought up,
hurts me.
Imagine you and your son getting on fire.
We would be stunting.
He would be stunting like his father.
There will be stunt performers. Yeah, these are super clean. I don't
need to ask. I know you like them.
I'm very excited for these to come out.
Yeah.
Let us know, guys, if you're going to try and get them.
Yeah.
I'm sure this is going to be a hot ticket
item. Oh, this is going to be sold
out. All-timer right here.
Everywhere.
You got a picture of the man himself rocking them.
Which I wanted to bring up, like the famous moments in these shoes. Well, obviously the 4 is the shot over Elo. This shoe came out in 89, but also the famous picture of him and Muggsy Bogues guarding him, right? And he's wearing them here. And also iconic Do the Right Thing movie.
Yes, Spike Lee.
Directed by Spike Lee.
Spike Lizzle.
But he wore a cement 4 with a Rasta lace lock, which is super sick. But they also released with a scuff. I don't know. We've spoken about this.
Yeah.
A couple years ago to reference that scene in the movie where it was like, you scuffed up my Jordans, bro.
Yeah.
And just really cool knock. Or not knock. Really cool throwback to that scene in that movie. But, I mean, just an all-time favorite of mine, bro. And I'm glad it's coming back.
I mean, Nike is really pulling out all the stops this year, it feels like. The Rookie of the Year Lows came out today when we recorded it.
You're more of the, you like the highs.
I like the highs. I like the little bit of black that's on the top of the heel there.
Yeah.
I think it helps break it up a little bit. But it's like they're pretty much all the like hyped colorways, more or less. They're coming out this year.
Big time. And good thing you brought that up too. After all these old Jordans are coming out, they are going to start focusing more on newer models and not releasing as many of the retro line.
I mean, they've been hitting like a lot of classics lately,
right?
So.
Yeah, which is probably a good move that they're gonna shift into a different direction.
Yeah, it's probably about time.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very excited for those. Again, you know, let us know if you guys are gonna try and pick these up because we would love to see yours so we can look at them with ours.
Exactly, and give us rank. Where do they rank in your all-time favorites?
Yeah, let us know. Last up here, we have the craziest shoe I think we've ever had on this podcast.
Needs to be spoken about.
The Nike Hyper Boot, a collab with Hyper Ice.
Yes.
Look at that thing.
It's
what?
What? Insane. Yeah. Insane. We've spoken about Nike looking into the future.
Yep.
For their shoes and for their lines and for...
Then why I yelled that?
What was that?
I feel like I yelled. Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, they have.
This is a new shoe. Yep. And also the innovation of the shoes for their athletes, right?
Yeah.
So this is a shoe I thought was important to speak about because it was made for recovery from workouts and from, you know, practice and games. This is something that the athletes can wear after. It says to be worn in increments of an hour to an hour 15 minutes. The focus is to let your feet, less pressure on your feet when you wear them so that they can rest while you're wearing a shoe and walk around. Insane, right? Almost like
crazy your foot concept. Up when yeah. You know, you put yeah. Your, get,
really crazy. Comes out May 17th on Nike.com, HyperIce.com, and Dick's Sporting Goods for $899.
Macaroonies. This is, you brought up an interesting point there that, like, this is for athletes, which seems silly to talk about a shoe made by Nike being for athletes.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, if you want to spend $200 on, like, a LeBron, let's say, and you just play, like, rec league ball, you could kind of, you could be like, well, I'm playing... Like, I want to have the best shoe. I want to have a shoe I like.
Yeah.
I'm willing to spend the money on it. $200 for a lot of people, if you're really into basketball and playing basketball, is not going to break the bank, probably. At least it's going to be a priority for you of something you want to buy.
Yeah.
But this is like, if you're just a guy, like you and I, we don't need these.
I have no business owning those.
No. I have nothing to do with this.
Yes.
$899. There is like a massaging apparatus in the shoe that like helps.
So they're called your feet. So they're called bladders. They're like little sacks at the bottom of the shoe. I think there's two in the front, one in the back. They inflate to your liking. There are buttons on the side of the shoe, an on button, inflate, the deflate. The technology is insane. The athletes that they had represent the shoe and do the marketing and promo for it were Sha'Carri Richardson, who is an awesome superstar runner, and Mr. Jaden, what's his name? Shoot, Jaden Daniels from the quarterback for the Commanders.
Yes.
Both have said that so far that they are impressed by the technology of the shoe, and they've definitely felt the difference after workouts on it. So... a really innovative shoe that I thought Nike invented, but again, I think caters only to professional athletes, maybe high school and college athletes.
I mean, maybe like a modern day high school, you know, we'll get you
these higher private school or like Division One high schools,
Eagle
right?
Rock High.
yeah, exactly. And will you get sneakerheads to buy this to add to their collection? Maybe along with like their
interesting theory
along with their their Back to the Future,
their Air Mags
and the,
it's got an Air Mag vibe. Yeah
that the self-lacing Nikes that came out for $500 a couple years ago, I think the diehards will buy that. But again, not very, like a niche shoe, really, right?
It is. I think LeBron especially has pushed using, like, spending money on recovery. Like, mm-hmm. he reportedly, even though he says he doesn't, he reportedly spends up to, like, $1 million on yeah. recovery.
Yep.
You know, you see they have, like, the hyperbaric chambers and, you know, just crazy stuff that the top-of-the-line professional athletes can afford to do.
Yeah.
And this is, I mean, this is an interesting way of bringing that concept on a much smaller scale to, you know, the general public. Or, but again, I mean, this is a shoe that is not made for the general public, I think. I think this is, I mean, it's hardly a shoe. It's really, it's like you said, it's like a recovery item. It's like, you know, it almost looks like a cast, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, it looks like, it definitely looks like a cast. It almost looks like those, you know, those boots that go all the way up to your thigh that the athletes wear after to,
yeah,
almost like a massage type of thing, yeah, like yeah. where it, like, it fills up with air.
Yeah.
I mean, just the crazy, just to get a little bit into the technology, the, as soon as you put it on and turn it on, the sole and the shoe molds to the bottom of your foot, and the what's called the bladders that I was just talking to you about, distributes air but also heat to the tissues of wow. your foot. Insane. So yeah, so basically massaging
that's
your foot.
Lit.
Yeah, super cool, man. But
I wonder if something breaks, like, is Nike gonna sell these with like a 2-year warranty or yeah. something?
Is there like a mechanic?
It sounds like
you
there's a
call?
Lot of stuff
yeah.
in this shoe that, like, if something goes wrong.
Yeah, it's also not waterproof or resistant.
Yeah.
So you're obviously wearing it at home.
Yeah, you're wearing this to,
or at the gym on the way home.
Yeah.
Because it's only an hour of wear, hour 15, I believe. So
crazy. I'm curious to see. I would love, I don't really have anyone in my life that I could be like, hey, are you going to get these? Are you going to try these? But I would love to hear. I mean, it sounds great in concept, but I do think if you're not a Nike athlete or a high profile, like if you're just a college guy, if you're at, you know, a D2 or D3 and mm-hmm. you want these and you're able to get them, but like, again, what if you need to service them? Like, how does that work?
That's a great question. That's something that we have to look into. You can't just call Nike and be like, hey, give me another pair. It's a $900 shoe.
Yeah.
I would imagine, too, if you're a runner and you do marathons all the time, this would be a good shoe for you, maybe in terms of recovery and your training. But again, that's $900.
Do you think they're going to give any PEs of these? Does PJ Tucker, is he going to get a PE
what
of the hyper boot?
What, the hyper boot? Like Travis Scott hyper boot?
That'd be lit.
I mean, you'll see, you're going to see athletes more and more come out with these. We'll probably see them, some of the NBA players in the playoffs wearing them, maybe some NFL players. We'll see.
Jordan 1 hyper boot? Start putting old models onto the boot technology.
It's like a PlayStation remote on your shoe. You know what I mean? With like,
order me a pizza. Talk about recovery.
Yeah, but again, I mean, crazy
shoe.
Super
crazy.
And if you want them, they're at Dick's too. So
probably gonna be behind like a glass case and stuff.
Yeah, I also like that they're like $899.
They're not $900, so, but they are close.
Yeah.
But that's it for new releases.
Great. You're right. Probably the craziest shoe we've had on new releases, right?
Probably the craziest shoe we've ever had on this show. But with that being said, it's time to move on to top or drippity droppity droop. Kind of a tie-in with new releases. Don't look at my camera. They can't even see you.
Hey, my side is the best side.
He's right.
Sorry, guys.
Just sell my side out immediately. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, I haven't.
Kind of a tie-in with new releases, I guess, because this is a shoe that is going to be coming out very soon.
Yeah.
Here we go. We have a new Adidas capsule in collaboration with West NYC. I sent you these just the other day on Instagram. Up top we have a burgundy SL72 RS, and below there we have a handball special. These are in collaboration with West NYC, like I said, which is a New York City shoe shop. It's celebrating their sister store, which is called Tip Top Shoes. It's celebrating their 85th anniversary. So I think what Adidas is going for here, I guess a lot of the design was headed by the guys over at West NYC. So they kind of were the creative minds behind this. I think this one is supposed to be kind of more of like a old school colorway. Like the promo picture for it is like a black and white photo of a guy in like an old timey shoe shop with this pair. And then this is your, you know, your more modern shoe that's more vibrant, more out there. So I thought this was a super cool capsule.
Super cool.
And I wanted to make you pick.
You know how I feel about the SL72. We've spoken about that, the Bob Marley.
Yep.
We've spoken about the other colorways.
This is a model that I feel like Adidas is leaning on a lot right now. And but I like it. I think it's cool. Yeah.
As they should. And we both love the SL72. I'm also a huge fan of the Speedzeals because they are almost like a sister to the Gazelle and the Samba.
Yep.
Speedzeal mostly for, you know, it's a tennis shoe. But just the material on the Speedzeal, I think, along with the pink, blue, and purple dots, just beautifully done.
Looks
man.
Like sprinkles on there.
Sprinkles. The SL72, I love that the ridged, it's the cutoff on the ridge around here. Is the almost like the old spikes.
It's like hand cut almost.
Hand cut is what they're going for. And then the three stripes, they instead of going for solid, they went through like almost like a tablecloth.
Yeah. Type it looks of like thing, a doily.
But I love. And then you can see the tongue also has some type of weird.
It looks like a chocolate bar. It looks like a Nestle Crunch.
It looks
crunch.
Like a Nestle Crunch yeah. bar. Yeah. But also super sick. And just the colors of the sole and the midsole, orange and then going to maroon and yellow, just I love it. I think I gotta go with the SL72.
All right, I'm there with you for all those reasons. Material choice, of course. I think actually material choice on both looks pretty dope.
Can't go wrong to me. I would love both. To be
These are releasing for anyone interested on April 26th through West NYC and Tip Top Shoes in store and online.
Okay.
They're doing a special release event on the 24th. So if you guys are East Coast friends, if you guys are interested. Make sure to check that out.
Send us some.
120 for... Yeah, seriously. Send us a pair. We will Venmo you.
Yeah.
The SL72 is going to be released for $120, and the Ooh. Handball Special is $130. Honestly, Ooh. Really not bad prices for, like, pretty unique shoes, I'd say.
Yeah, yes. I only say that because it seems like they would be a little cheaper. Like, I would say maybe the SL72 might be maybe $95 to $100.
Yeah, yeah.
But again... The premium, right? The theme behind it.
Limited release.
The limited theme and the story behind it. Of course, you got to add value to it. So both beautiful shoes. Good selection, bro.
Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with one. I think we talked about it before.
A little more wearable.
The SL72. Yeah, a little bit. The SL72, it's cool. It's a cool model, cool story behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that burgundy, like, color Same. Palette that they're going with.
Same.
I really like it a lot.
I'm a sucker for that, for the teeth of the sole on the SL72 also.
Yeah, that's a cool quirk of that model.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for copping and dropping. Let us know in the comments which pair you guys would take.
Exactly.
But that's it for the Kizop and the Drizop.
Okay.
So that means it must be time for...
Heater?
The heaters on your feeders, just like the Nike Hyperboost. It's a heater on your feeder.
Steady Daddy's and Sneaker Peter's heaters on the feeders.
Yes. It's brought to you by us.
Brought to you by the weed company, Jeter. No, just kidding.
Derek? first up here, we have one of my favorite colorways that Jordan and Nike like to do, particularly Jordan, I feel like.
Yeah.
A lemonade-themed colorway. This time, the strawberry lemonade. We have Trey Young in the... Jordan 39 Strawberry Lemonade PE. This was in the first play-in game that they lost. Hawks finished with 95. Magic finished with 120. Like you said, Trey had a little bit of a meltdown at the end. He got ejected from the game.
He did two things, too. The ref was asking for the ball, and he just dribbled it in his face, right? And then he gave it to him. Right?
He faked it too. He did a fake pass to him. Right. He was like this, and then he kept going, and then just didn't even look. Just like dropped it behind them.
Yeah.
I was like, I guess if you're getting kicked out, that's one way to go.
It's a good way to act like you're 5 years old too.
That's the Trae Young special,
big time. And then the second one was the freaking chest pass 500 miles per hour to the rim.
just having a bad day that day. Getting whooped by the Magic pretty much front to back. There was no point in that game that it was close. Trey finished with 28 points, 2 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, no blocks, 2 turnovers, and 8 for 21 from the field, 1 for 5 from downtown, 11 for 12 from the free throw line.
So he didn't shoot well, but...
Didn't shoot well. I mean, he was the best player for the Hawks. Like we mentioned at the top of the show, with Jalen Johnson out, they are just a different team. They're just not very good. Cole Anthony for the Magic had 26 points, 3 rebounds, and 6 assists in only 20 minutes. He had himself a game.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zachary Richache in his first postseason appearance, I guess you could say. Not a great outing. 2 for 10 from the field and only 7 points. You know, first time as a rookie, nice to dip your toe in the water. Here's a closer look at this pair.
Oh, much better close-up.
How do you feel about the Jordan 39?
There's a weirdness to them in terms of the shape.
Kind of looks like a Harden with that curvy bottom.
The curvy bottom, I don't know if it's that bothers me. But, oddly enough, I like the shoe a lot.
I ended up liking this model a lot. I think when we first covered it, I think last summer, I was kind of lukewarm on it. But I actually kind of like it a lot. I really like the tongue. I think the tongue is really cool. And they've been able to do some cool stuff with the body as well. Looks like a super light. It almost looks like a boxing shoe or something.
Yes. It almost looks like it's a sock. Like a wrestling shoe.
Yeah.
I think we said Brandon Ingram is also a fan of this shoe that he wears a lot.
I think it's him, now Trey, since Trey earlier this season left Adidas for Jordan. But yeah, I think it's Ingram, Trey Young, and I think Paolo Banchero as well is one of the athletes. Mm-hmm.
But they're also putting his new emblem.
Probably going to get his own signature shoe.
I think so.
Him
or Cade?
Well, Cade is with Nike instead of Jordan.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll keep doing Zions with Jordan, though. I'm sure he'll be a Jordan athlete, but I wonder, just because he's not playing, I mean, it's tough to sell shoes for a guy that's not playing basketball. I wonder if they'll release this colorway.
I don't see why not.
But they have been releasing, like, lemonade stuff. Like, they released all the Tatums have a lemonade colorway.
Yeah.
There's been a few other PEs we've mentioned that they released or are planning to release, like the Kobe's, the Caitlin Clark PEs that we talked about last week.
That's right.
The
Kobe 6s.
Kobe 5, Kobe 6. Yeah, there's a few different PEs that Nike's been releasing, which I think is really cool. So
is that for Trey, that cross in the middle?
That's an excellent question. I do not know.
That's such a random
place for that.
And why not have the Y there, you know what I mean? But whatever. Maybe I wonder if that has any significance.
You know what though? This whole side has stuff etched in it, and this one, maybe that's just how the inside of the shoe is.
Maybe.
Let's see. Yeah, that's just a.
It's just there.
Just a stitch. There? The stitching of the shoe. All right,
guys.
Yeah.
We figured it out. It doesn't mean Trey Young or anything.
No.
Okay, but.
It means Trey old.
I do like the shoe. I like the shape does bother me a little bit, just a little bit, but I liked everything else about it. I love the green, the hint of green just going around the outsole.
Yeah, it's like a shine, yeah.
The tongue is insane and is tripping me out, and I'm not on drugs or anything.
I like it.
Trippy, and I like it in the way that I like it.
Oh.
And it's just, it's a pretty shoe, and also a great colorway. I know it's your favorite.
I love it.
Watermelon lemonades.
Watermelon sugar, hi.
Hello.
How do you do? this is a cool shoe. Just wanted to highlight that from the play-in, but moving it along to another play-in pair. It's all play-in pairs, actually. Spoiler.
We stay recent, baby.
Yes, we do. Kind of. A boy near and dear to our heart, Mr. Anthony Davis.
My boy.
Playing in a LeBron 22 PE, a mismatched pair. Kind of like that.
Yeah.
Also,
lemonade and blueberry lemonade.
I know. I was kind of like, I was wondering if this was another Kool-Aid collab like the Jaws we talked about last week. But I don't think so. I didn't see any signs. Here's a close-up.
LeBron has been wearing a lot of mismatched colorways of his of this model. Yeah. So I'm not surprised that there's another one.
It's cool too that you know, AD is still wearing LeBron's. Not that he has a reason not to. I mean, but
LeBron is like giving them to him.
I mean, they're obviously good, like friends,
right?
So I mean, it makes sense. But
do you have a name for this colorway?
I do not.
Okay,
no.
The Superman.
Go ahead. Yeah, give a name. Dub these shoes.
Yes. I like the model. We've spoken that and said that this isn't a model that is our favorite of LeBron's.
No.
I think what they've gone towards with this model and a lot of his older models too is like that oyster pearl shiny look.
Yeah.
Which is why you see the shine and that type of material, almost like
your brain's gone.
My brain is fried, but I mean, again, he's stuck with the low top model. AD's been pretty loyal, like you said, to the LeBron line, but also the Kobe line. He's like, you know, both.
Yeah.
But I mean, I like this pair. I would definitely ball in them.
AD did ball in them. He beat the Kings 120-106 in Sacramento. 27 points for AD, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 3 blocks, no turnovers, and only 2 fouls. Only 9 of 23 from the field, not great. DeMar finished with 33 points, 7 rebounds, and 13 of 28 from the field for the Kings. And Clay had 23 points on 5 of 7 shooting from downtown.
Okay.
Good game from the Mavs. The Kings are kind of falling into disarray. They let a bunch of people go today.
They did.
So who knows what's going to happen with that.
Yeah, and they, you know, they traded away their point guard, and it's almost a question where do you trade Sabonis now? What do you do with
Sabonis said today, could have really used a point guard.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that Ellis guy on there, but...
Yeah.
I mean, he's not...
Keon Ellis?
Fox. No. Keon Ellis, but he's not De'Aaron Fox.
They let their GM go, or he resigned, I'm not entirely sure. There's rumors, I heard, that supposedly Calvin Booth, who was let go from the Nuggets, is interested.
Oh, okay.
Or could be a candidate, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Doug Christie one of the ones that got released, or are they trying
no,
to keep
I think
they kept
Doug,
him, right?
I think Doug Christie's still on the staff. Okay. He was an assistant coach. An interim head coach.
Right.
Maybe he'll just take over full-time next year, but this is going to be, I mean, they're kind of the Bulls West now. They're just kind of going to be stuck in mediocrity
really
without
weird place.
A point guard because they just have LaVine and DeMar, which did not work in Chicago. That was such a weird move to me.
Super
to
weird.
Pick up LaVine.
It was almost like they just had to say
felt
yes
like a desperation
to,
move.
To,
yeah.
To De'Aaron Fox. Yeah. But happy for our boy, AD. You want to... Even though he's not a Laker, you want to see. We both want to see him succeed. And
yeah,
still
definitely.
Be good. So seeing them beat the Kings and want the play-in game, and we'll see later on today if they beat the Grizzlies, which we don't think they will.
No, you never know. AD
again, rooting for our guy.
AD when he's played, you know, without another star. I mean, he has Clay, but that's not like a LeBron level star. Mm-hmm. He's been known to be a bucket. In those Pelicans days, he was nasty.
And that's what I think the Mavericks hope. To get
for tonight, that's for sure. And then moving along to our last play-in playa, it is Mr. 3000, Stephen.
Is it 4000? It's 4000.
It's 3000.
It's 4000.
Is it 4?
Yeah.
No.
It is.
okay. Mr. 4000, Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry. In the play-in, Warriors beat the Grizz 121-116. We were talking about that game a lot. Ended up being a much closer game than I thought it was going to be.
Yep.
Lots of weird stuff in that game.
Jaw's ankle.
He came back and played really well. We were both talking about that Zach Edey is just lost out there. He almost fouled. He should have fouled out. The refs were making some insane calls on both sides of the ball.
Ja was getting the switch on him one-on-one almost every play.
Yeah.
Barbecue foul.
And We've talked about this before. No Kuminga. He didn't play. He was a DNP coach decision. Steve Kerr said today that essentially he's like, you know, we traded for Jimmy Butler when Jonathan Kuminga was injured. They both play the same position, so there's not a place for Kuminga to play next to him. He, like, said all of that. So,
but to play zero minutes is kind of weird.
I think he's going to – I think he's done. I mean, I think he's voiced his displeasure with the team. He's a restricted free agent. Obviously, Steve Kerr doesn't believe in him to some degree. Draymond, I think, is on his podcast. He's 100% certain that he's going to play in this upcoming series. So we'll see. But, yeah, I think Kuminga's time with the Rockets – or, I mean, the Warriors is –
it's done. Done. You also brought up that Moody is way really more involved, and he's doing really well.
Even rookie Quinn Post, I mean, he got a ton of minutes. Dude, he looked really good.
Bucket, man.
And his defense was pretty good. He made some dumb fouls, but he's a rookie, so.
He made some timely threes. Curry got hot at the right time in this game, and ended up was ultimately what caused the Grizzlies to lose. And John just was not himself anymore, because he had a noticeable limp, couldn't really get to the basket as much.
I just think, too, I mean, we talked about it as well, that the Grizzlies let go of their coach, Taylor Jenkins, with like 10-ish games to go, which, again, just a weird situation.
Yeah.
There were some weird decisions by their interim head coach, Tomas Isalo.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not pronouncing that right. I thought Zach Edey played way too many minutes. I would have rather had Santi Aldama out there, who is not a great decision maker either, but
more effective.
Edey
for sure.
Just couldn't keep up. He was fouling everybody. He got, as I mentioned, I bailed out with a few missed calls, I think. And then at the very end, to my own discredit, I guess, Santi Aldama was supposed to inbound the ball on their final play and got called with a 5-second violation.
That was painful.
You could argue that maybe it was a little bit quick. You hardly ever see 5-second calls get called, but I mean, I don't think they had a timeout left. But just to have him be the one inbounding seems like a mistake to me.
I thought so too.
Have Scottie Pippen Jr., have Desmond Bane, have Ja even. I mean, because they had enough time. It was over 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough time for Ja to inbound the ball, pick up the ball off a handoff screen, and do something. That's enough time to have the inbounder get the ball back if that's what you need. Mm-hmm. Santi Aldama should not be the guy making the play, the final play. It was just bad coaching, I thought.
But it also came out, the report came out, the officiating report came out that they made four calls wrong in the last 2 minutes. So it's like...
awful officiating.
It's just, again, the refs getting too involved in the game, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I feel like the NBA is trying to make the refs like stars almost. I've been seeing a lot of like vlogs about what it's like to be a ref.
Yeah.
Which is not uninteresting. I think that's an interesting topic, but like, yeah, I don't know. The NBA refing is a whole other
podcast. That's another topic.
Curry was wearing the Curry Flow 12 Saturn colorway. This colorway is available right now through Under Armour and other retailers like Shoe Palace.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's a cool colorway. The Curry 12, I feel like there's been some cool colorways, but for the most part, they've been somewhat simple, I'd say. But I do like, you know, they always utilize this bottom area of the midsole to put something cool in there. So
yeah, I like that red and green going with the watermelon theme again.
Yeah, I don't understand why they're called Saturn. I
wonder, maybe these represent rings?
Maybe. I think that's always on the shoe, though. I don't think that's specific.
And I was just going
to
say, it almost reminds me of like a Yeezy, kind of.
Yeah, it's got a Yeezy
vibe,
right?
But again, we've said that we like this shoe, so.
Steph finished with 37 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and one turnover, excuse me. 9 of 22 from the field, 6 of 13 from downtown, but he was... even though he didn't shoot it great, he was 4 for 9 from the field in the fourth. So, as he does,
he
came alive.
The chef is alive.
Jimmy finished with 38 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. Great game from him.
He was unstoppable that
game. He got switched on to, Edie switched on to him too many times. It was too easy for him. And then Desmond Bane finished with 30 for the Grizzlies.
And he was great.
He was great. He's one of their best players. On many nights, he's better than Ja, I think.
Big time.
But like you said, Ja got injured. Ja was having a good game.
Yeah.
And came back and played through it. So, you know, commendable.
Warriors don't get enough credit for being so good at making adjustments in the game.
Curry, yeah, Curry Steve and Curry's Draymond. Great at that, yeah.
They played small and Memphis kept Edie in there for a long time, maybe they just probably should have made that adjustment.
Yeah, right? I think so.
Well, thank you for that.
Yes, that's all she wrote. That's all I got.
And before we go...
No, I'm leaving now.
It's time for bye-bye. Stump the Statty.
Nope.
Daddy.
Don't listen to him. My time.
Stump them.
All right.
You ready?
I'm ready.
This is a team stat, Mr. Statty Daddy. It is...
1972 Lakers.
Wrong. Most blocks in a playoff game. It was against the...
Oh, in one single game.
Yes. Okay. It was against the Milwaukee Bucks on April 5th, 1981, and they had 20 blocks in the game. That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's so many blocks. April 5th, 1981? Mm-hmm. Is it the 76ers?
Very good.
Moses Malone.
Probably had 19 of them.
Probably.
Right?
Had a million
that
blocks.
That is a large man.
Daryl Dawkins? Not too
Daryl Dawkins, also a large man.
A very large man.
Yeah. This one is a...
Can't stun me.
Nicely done on that, right?
Unstumpable.
You are unstumpable. This is most threes in a game by a team in a loss. It was against And this was last year. It was against Dallas. This team had 27 threes, and the game ended up being 133 to 143 in a loss for the team that scored 27 threes. That's a gang of
Celtics?
Threes. Wrong.
The Suns.
Against Dallas.
The Suns.
No.
Three-point shooting team. The Warriors.
Yes.
Oh.
27 threes, bro? That's
27 threes is...
Divided by 6 times 4. Even if you had 6 a quarter, that's only 24. So you had...
Yeah, they had...
That's a lot.
They were dialed in, that's for sure.
Okay, and this last one is a kind of a funny one. Most free throws... made in a game. This guy did it against Houston on January 4th, 1984, against Houston.
Against Houston, most
and
free throws
made. Another guy also made 28 free throws.
Oh, it's 28?
There's two guys, yeah.
28.
So 28 free throws in
is Dwight game. Is Dwight one of the other ones?
No. So there's two guys, both you know, one a little more famous than the other. The other guy did this on March 2nd, 1962, against the New York Knicks.
Wow. Well, that's got to be Wilt.
That's Wilt.
100 point. That's a 100-point game.
This game was, he had 61, but 28 of them were free throws. 28 points off free throws is just ridiculous. And the first guy, he was a, something we haven't said in a long time, he is a CBG.
Hit all cameras.
Yeah.
The CBGbers.
Mm-hmm. He was a bucket. He played
28 free throws
on this team. He played for the Utah Jazzercise.
Oh, is it Adrian Dantley?
Yeah.
Dang, 28 free throws as a forward.
Wow,
that's ridiculous.
Also, that was the longest game ever, probably. Right?
That must have taken just
4 hours.
Must have not been fun.
No. Who fouled out?
Yeah, seriously. We had 3 guys foul out. thank you.
Thank you.
I feel like you let me off a little bit. I feel like I didn't get super stumped. That last one was pretty good, though. 28 for a single game.
Getting a little hard to find these, but I've gotten a groove of really kind of looking for these stats, and it's really fun for me. And you've been getting them, so... Shows your knowledge, sir.
I like basketball.
But thank you guys once again for watching. We have a lot of content coming out for you on our social media pages. Please stay tuned for videos on our YouTube channel as well. And we will catch you next week on the Flippity Floppity.
First up here, we have a Statty Daddy favorite colorway, pink lemonade. In this case, the strawberry lemonade.
Summer's coming.
Yeah, exactly. It is, what's going on here?
This is like when the mic fell on you. Remember that?
All time classic. Dude, that's clip a fire. Right there.
Oh. Wait. Start over.